you're at a crossroads and looking to choose the road you want to travel down. Sometimes you need high performance, others a touch of elegance and fun. That is why we made the Technorama GLX. Everything you want in a sporty package. Fitting your geek lifestyle, it is happy parked in your parents' driveway on a Friday night while you watch Battlestar Galactica, or out tearing up the road. Technorama. Listeners wanted. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com. Welcome to Technorama. This is show number 96 for March 30th, 2006. I'm Craig Stepp, and with me in a basement somewhere in Michigan is Chuck DeMasi. Hello, Chuck.
Hey, Craig. How are you?
Earth to Chuck. Please come in.
Does this feel a little backwards to you?
Yeah, just a little bit. I feel like I'm using my left hand for my right hand and that kind of thing.
You're in the driver's seat, and I'm in the passenger seat, so I'm going to take a nap now.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? It's really cool. I can do things like this. Yeah, see? No Chuck.
Hey, cut that out.
All right. Anyway, well, coming up on tonight's show. Not that. It's the second time I did that tonight.
Student driver.
Yeah, that's right. I got the sign on the roof of the car. We got games. We got geek tests. We got gadgets, gizmos, and girls. Oh, my.
Bring on the girls.
The 6 G's. 5 G's. Something like that. Anyway. All right, we'll be right back after this on this day in tech history. Learn something.
On this day in tech history for March 30th, 2006. This is March 30th. It's the 89th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 276 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1842 that anesthesia is used for the first time in an operation by Dr. Crawford Long. Hyman Lippmann patents the pencil with an attached eraser. On this date in 1858. And on this date in 1867, Alaska is purchased for $7.2 million, about 2 cents per acre, by the United States Secretary of State William H. Seward. The news media call this Seward's folly. And it was on this date in 1951, Remington Rand delivered the first UNIVAC 1 computer to the United States Census Bureau. The first subway in Canada opens up after 5 years of construction in Toronto on this date in 1954. And the game show Jeopardy! Debuts on television on this date in 1964. Come on, you're a geek. You've watched Jeopardy! Too. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1857 to Léon Charles Thévenin, the French telegraph engineer, whose name I can't pronounce. And Sergei Ilyushin, the Russian aerospace engineer, was born on this date in 1894. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for March 30th, 2006.
This is Tornado Tim, storm chaser from Greeley, Colorado, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
All right. Well, I feel like I've been educated now.
You've been taken to school?
That's right. So how's your vacation been, man?
My vacation's been really good. We went downhill skiing on Saturday and Sunday, and between breakfast breaks and lunch breaks mm-hmm. and watching a little TV in the evening, I encoded all of the Firefly episodes to the iPod.
Oh, you did?
So,
okay.
Then I spent Tuesday and Wednesday, or Monday and Tuesday, watching them all. So, I'm done. I watched all my Serenity, or all my Firefly.
Going downhill while you're skiing.
No. While I was skiing, I was listening to several podcasts.
Okay.
I think I finally ran out of stuff late on Sunday and listened to about four or five songs.
Oh. That kind of sucks, don't it, when you don't have any podcasts to listen to?
Not just podcasts. I went through a third of the audiobook. I'm listening to The World is Flat. I ordered that last week, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I encoded the first five CDs out of 15. And I ran out. I'm halfway through listening to his discussion about TiVo, of all things.
Oh, man. You know, I've been playing around on Linuxbox using Festival. Are you familiar with it?
No.
It's a command line utility that you feed it a text file and it'll read it to you.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I was playing around with, I saw somebody else had done this. They took a text file from Gutenberg Press and made a WAV file and stuck it on their iPod or whatever. And so they had an audiobook, instant audiobook.
Is it all the robotic sounding voices?
No, actually, it's not quite as bad. I'll have to record something and let you hear it. But it sounds pretty decent, and you can play around with the settings. I heard some on the festival website. You can listen to some samples, and a couple of them sound really good, especially like with the accents. I don't know how people get the accents to work, but anyway. Well, listen, we got a little listener feedback. Are you ready to move on to that?
I think so. You got Gmail. Oh, that was nice.
Sounds familiar. Yeah, a little flashback for you. We got our first email from Beaker One, and I'll let you read that since it's addressed to you.
It says, Chuck, happy birthday. Hope it was an enjoyable one. Yes, it was. 41 is a good year for me.
Old.
Lots of family, lots of fun, lots of...
Old.
What was that? No.
So go ahead.
You laugh now. You will be there someday.
Old.
You said on your last show that you liked Star Trek music. Yes, I do. Do you know that the original Star Trek theme music actually had lyrics? Here's a link to the website that has Nichelle Nichols singing the theme music. The link is down under the selection called Celebrities Who Insist on Singing. My recommendation, don't click that if you know what's good for you. You've heard Nimoy. You've heard Shatner.
Oh.
Actually, Nichelle Nichols has a really good voice, but
you know,
this is painful to listen to. I'll
tell you what's painful. I'll tell you what's painful is listening to Leonard Nimoy singing the Ballad of Bilbo Baggins or whatever. Have you heard
that?
Don't
get me started. Don't get me started. I may put that on the stream next week.
No. Anyway.
Who even knew this had lyrics? Bonus features for most frightening last note ever sung by a human being. I didn't make it to the last note, honestly. But we have a link to the webpage and the MP3 in the show notes if you're brave enough to go there.
Yes. All right. We also have a voicemail from Jonathan from Canada.
Hi, this is Jonathan calling from Canada, and I'm calling to wish Chuck a happy birthday, and I've been listening to all your shows since beginning of last summer, and I'm loving them. Thanks. Bye.
I'm sorry. I think you must have had the wrong number.
Okay. Let's see. Birthday, Chuck, last summer. Yeah, that's us. Thanks, Jonathan.
Yes,
really appreciate it.
It.
Thanks for the birthday wishes, and many more to you, too. Sounds like we are starting to lure in the younger listeners. Come to the dark side. Spread the word of podcasting, my son.
We will corrupt you.
and your friends.
Yeah, bring them too. Yeah. Anyway, we want to give the shout out to a chat room.
We've got a less audience than usual.
Oh, are they really? Man, you know, I'm not even logged in there yet.
Well, that's the reason. We've got the usuals: East Bay Aunt, Joni, Mark Shepard, Philip from Australia, way, way down under, Scoot Nuts. That's an honest name. Tim Elliott,
okay.
Douglas Welch, and, of course, at the end of the list is...
Zadu.
Gesundheit.
Bless me. Anyway. All right, well...
If you want to join in the chat room fun, you can. There is a link for the webcam/chat room right on the main Technorama page at chuckchat.com. I hear familiar music.
Yep.
And it's not coming from my computer.
No, it's not. I will be right back in just a second with our hacks and strange stories and the rest of some stuff.
This is Kevin Rose from Dignation, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig of Technorama.
Sorry, I was a little preemie on that one, but that's okay.
We're back. You're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig,
and
the show, the tech, science, sci-fi, geek show that makes you laugh most of the time.
At least that does me and Chuck.
If we weren't laughing, we wouldn't be here.
That's right. Anyway, looking at some news.
Ton of stuff.
Yeah, we got a bunch of stuff. This is kind of funny because I stumbled upon this and then I saw the video. I'm sorry, I saw the video first, then saw the article. It was about a teen who ignites this big buzz about Logitech product. It's a Logitech webcam that comes with software that allows you to superimpose glasses or a gas mask, a scuba mask, all kinds of stuff, and on your face as you're moving around in real time, and when you record your video, it's on there. It looks like, and for a minute I was like, the girl's got glasses, but they look kind of odd. Then I was like, hey, wait a minute, those aren't glasses, they're superimposed. So those look pretty good. Anyway, over on YouTube is where this video's at. She had some breakup video about her breaking up with a boyfriend.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But anyway.
Oh, hey, baby. You got no boyfriend?
Hey, baby. Want to, like, do it? Anyway, so anyway, the video got a big thing, and then of course Logitech's like getting all this free press because everybody's flipping out over her video. It's kind of funny how it kind of stuff. The viral marketing. There you go, perfect example.
Can I do my John C. Dvorak retort on this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know what the big fuss is all about. The software's been out since August, and now it's just getting attention? Well, are these people slow or something? It's been out there for 6 months. Come on.
Apple's buying these people. Move on. In a story.
Honestly, I don't know why everybody sounded so surprised. If it's been out for 6 months, is this the first time some of these people have seen it? Because the comments in that thing said, well, how'd you do that? What software were you using?
And that's what I'm saying, yeah. I mean, people sort of flipping out. And yeah, it's like came out. It seems like I read an article about that kind of that software a while back.
Wow, the things that amaze some people just amaze me sometimes.
Yeah, and amazes us so much we put them in the show notes and you hear about them.
So they amuse us. Yeah. They may amuse you.
Yeah, that's right. Well, since you're the math geek, you're getting to take the next one here.
The title is 42 is the magic number. I'm pulling it up now because I didn't prep enough before the show. That happens sometimes. Chuck. Article on Slashdot that says, in their search for patterns, mathematicians have uncovered unlikely connections between prime numbers and quantum physics. We've got other quantum physics thing coming up, too. This is kind of weird how some of these things sort of fall into place.
Mm-hmm.
The gist is that energy levels in the nucleus of heavy atoms can tell us about the distribution of zeros in Riemann zeta function, and hence where to find prime numbers. This article discusses this connection and introduces two physicists whom tell us why the answer to life, the universe, and the third moment of the Riemann zeta function should be 42.
Hey, you can't rewrite Douglas Adams, man.
The Riemann zeta function. I've never heard of that before.
Oh, you haven't? Hmm. Well, the article went way over my head. I mean, I'm telling you, they were talking about numbers and Greeks and stuff.
Numbers are over your head.
Yeah. If it's not on the telephone, it's over my head. Nah.
In 1972, the physicist Freeman Dyson wrote an article called Missed Opportunities. In it, he described how relativity could have been discovered many years before Einstein announced his findings of mathematicians in places like Göttingen had spoken to physicists who were clean off my keyboard later. Who were poring over Maxwell's equations describing electromagnetism. The ingredients were there in 1865 to make the breakthrough only announced by Einstein some 40 years later. Oh, man, this is heavy stuff.
Yes.
Dyson, Einstein, prime numbers such as 17 and 23 are those that can only be divided by themselves and 1. They are the most important objects in mathematics because, as the ancient Greeks discovered, they are the building blocks of all numbers, any of which can be broken down into a product of primes. For example, 100 times 3 times 5 times 7. Yes, yes, yes. For 2,000 years, the problem of the pattern of primes, or lack thereof, has been like a magnet, drawing in perplexed mathematicians. Ooh, ooh, that would be me! Among them was Bernard Riemann, who in 1859, the same year Darwin published the theory of evolution, put forward an equally revolutionary thesis for the origin of primes. We're obviously making a mockery of this
not
article.
Primes.
Oh.
Anyway, let's move along, Chuck. I think people can go read it for themselves.
Yep, go read it for yourselves.
My brain's hurting already.
Yeah, we have to put something educational in here once in a while. Yes. This was it. We're done for the year.
It's part of the No Child Left Behind.
Ooh, we are.
That's for our grants. Anyway.
All we need now is to insult people.
It won't be the first time. All right, okay. Looking over at the moon, there was a big eclipse, I think. Was it today, right?
There was a solar eclipse earlier. Well, today, we're recording this on Wednesday night. It was actually, what, about 5 or 6 a.m. Eastern time. But it went from Brazil over to Africa, through Togo, up through the Sahara, through Turkey, and all the way kind of arced over to Mongolia.
Mm-hmm.
People could see it, and this was the first time that the people in the Mir space station could see the moon's shadow on the Earth, and that's what I think is cool. I haven't seen any shadows of that yet.
Hey, here you go. Click on the link. Pull up that space link.
I'm clicking on the link.
And at the very top says update. The eclipse is over. See pictures. And then at the bottom of the following page, there's a big picture, and it looks like a big black spot. It looks like Independence Day when the UFOs were coming over the Earth and they had big shadows.
Oh, cool.
That's exactly what it looks like. Do you see it? I can tell you're pulling it up because your bandwidth is dropping as we speak. It's just, anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that
looks
cool?
Like a big burn spot.
Yeah, it looks like a scorched earth policy there.
Smoking is bad for you. Don't smoke. Please don't smoke.
Anyway, hey, speaking of, oh, man. This has nothing to do with our show. But speaking of YouTube, which they're pretty popular right now, there was a thing on there about two guys. It was one of those truth ads. But I'm not sure if it was a truth. The truth in smoking ads?
Yes.
You know, it was done in that style. And one guy gets up there with a doctor's uniform and the little thing, the reflector on his head, and smoking's bad for you. In 1994, you know, they dropped this kind of mud. And he was relaying a stat on how much money the smoking industry dropped on some doctors. And then this other guy with a cigarette on the other side of the street gets up on a crate with a thing and says, "Who are you to tell me? You freedom police." You know, and he's, and then they end up fighting and the guy shoots him.
That was on YouTube?
Yeah.
I have to see if you can find that one for us.
Yeah, I'll have to find that one.
That's just nuts enough to be funny.
Anyway, well, looking at our hacks and strange stories, speaking of YouTube.
Another YouTube, yep.
Yeah, YouTube too. YouTube, iTube, we all tube. Anyway, this one's the disco bar. And at first I was like, what is the disco bar? Well, if you go look at it, you'll see that the guy took the top of a bar where you'd like, say they had ceramic tiles, where he replaced some of the tiles with clear see-through, I guess, or acrylic or something like that, and put LEDs under it. And with a controller, he can hook up these LEDs to his computer, and it's all controlled and has patterns. Kind of, you know what it reminds me of is
Saturday Night Fever.
No, that dude's house, Christmas house, the video that was on the beer commercial and was all over the net.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was kind of like that, and he had patterns. Yes, it's like, you know, Staying Alive or something like that, the disco floor. Looks really cool. I think I might lose it if I was drinking too much and stared at it too long. Hey, man, that's great.
Go into the light, Craig.
Anyway, it looked cool, and I would highly recommend y'all go look at that. Definitely cool. All right, we'll be
right. How much do you think that cost him?
I don't think it was that much. I'm trying to remember the article. Hell, I don't know. We'll have to go find out.
I want to know. I want to build one.
Okay. What, the disco floor or the bar?
And then I'll get my army men up there, and they're going to be dancing around. You can't get it, by the way, have you?
Okay, on that note, we'll be right back.
Hello and welcome to Technorama. It's got a silicone skin that fits like a glove. The only thing that's exposed when it's all tight and sealed up, even if you put in the wide body adapter, it's still too squeezy on the silicone skin. There is a little rubber trap door. It's a very thin membrane, and it impedes absolutely none.
Every once in a while, you know, raise it up or take it off and clean, you know, around it. But I love it. I love that rubbery silicone feel. However, I would always felt like I just want to slide on my hand with that chrome on the back.
It gets pretty slippery, especially if you've been eating Cheetos or something. Your hand gets a little greasy. This has a nice grippy feel, and you know, you could go out in the rain and this would be completely protected because it is practically watertight.
This is Clinton from Comedy Forecast, and you're listening to Technorama. Shame on you.
Yeah, shame on you too, Chuck.
Hey, we got a couple of tests for the people out there. Found a couple of them. The first one calculates your brain speed. Yes.
Pop quiz.
Yeah. You didn't know there was homework involved with Technorama, did you? That's well, right. There is. We've got a couple of them. One is to test your brain speed. It's how, apparently, the older you get, the slower your brain gets. I mean, in terms of microseconds or milliseconds to produce a response. Craig?
Yeah.
Between my brain speed and the Skype latency, we're going to be in serious trouble in a couple more years.
Too late.
The unfortunate part about this brain speed thing is it currently only works on Windows. I'm not sure what the deal is, if it has to download an applet or something, because I was on a Mac when I tested it. Can you tell me more?
No.
And there we have it. The online test that calculates your brain speed.
No, actually, I did take the test. It walks through. It has like these. It's like a flash type thing, and you kind of go through this calibration test. You know, that way you make sure everything's ready, you know, running properly. And then what you do is you click on it. As soon as you hear the doo-doo, that means it go from left to right, and then doo-doo. And it kind of, it's hard to explain, but when you hear the sounds go in certain directions, you have to click on left to right or left or right to left. And then when this starts changing the speed of it, so, and then it'll slow it down, and you're like trying to keep track of it. So it's like a brain hearing speed test, sort of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it measures that, and hopefully your hearing still works enough to hear the tones?
Yeah, and it tries to measure how fast you can react to it in milliseconds. So I think I had like 42 milliseconds. But
sounds more like a sobriety test.
Yeah. Yeah.
Try taking this when you're sober next time.
That's right.
Our other test is to check whether you are a geek or autistic, which is kind of a strange combination, but I'm really curious about this because obviously this is one of those things, if you read into the questions, you can you know, rig it because it's very slanted about, you know, you're very good at remembering birthdays and you're very good at social activities, or you enjoy being in social settings, uh-huh. or you make friends quickly. There's about 50 questions, takes about 10 minutes. So if you take it, we really appreciate it. I don't know if they're doing anything with the stats. They don't record any personal information, but what I'm curious is to see if there's any pattern between the geeks that listen to this show, and I'm kind of betting there is, about people who enjoy numbers or do code problems or information like that, and you know, what kind of results we see out of that. There's some kind of scale that, you know, if you're 50 or higher, if you do nothing but sit in a corner and play with the cupboard door for 12 hours a day, then we have issues and probably not listening to the podcast anyway.
Yeah.
But see if there's any kind of series in the – I know when we do these things, we get about 10 or 12 respondents, and that may be good enough for our unscientific studies. But I want to know if people are ranging in the 20s or the 30s or if I'm just unusually, let's call it, gifted.
What did you – oh, you said you hadn't taken it, right?
25.
What? I got to take it again.
I scored I got 20. What did you get?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm still thinking of other tests. No, I didn't take this one yet.
Think about the sobriety test.
Yeah, I was thinking of the sobriety. I failed. I didn't study enough.
Psst, what'd you put for number one? That's your name, dude.
Yeah, what's your name, dude? Oh, man.
And back to our topic on quantum physics.
Yeah, which we talk about all the time.
My good friend at work, Steve Pruitt, who also does Motocast. If you're into motorcycles and things, check out motocast.libsyn.com. There's your plug, Steve.
Yeah.
Sent me along a video, Google video clip, sorry, that kind of explains particles and waves in an interesting fashion. He said if you took a machine gun and you fired bullets through a slit, it would make a pattern on a far wall in the pattern of the slit. You know, because the ones that go through go straight through and hit the back wall. The rest bounce off. If you put two slits, you get two lines. And if you send a wave through there, you start getting interference patterns. And then they said, no, let's shrink everything down to the electron level. And it was really bizarre because if you fired electrons through a single slit, you had a single pattern on the back. If you fired electrons through a double slit, electrons are just very small pieces of matter, in effect. They formed a wave pattern, not the dual lines. It was really interesting.
And this is a Google video doing this, right?
Yeah. Okay. Now, here's the scary part. If you observe the particles, the electrons going through the slit one at a time, it goes back to more of a dual slit matter pattern rather than a wave interference pattern. Well, when the electrons go through, they form a wave pattern, and just by observing it stops making a wave pattern, goes back to more of a matter pattern. This is just one of those scary reasons why I don't take quantum physics, because it doesn't make any sense to anybody else.
I know, man. When they start talking about quantum physics and stuff like that, it's like things that should make sense, but they're kind of warped, you know, and I don't know. Maybe it's just my mind.
And whenever they start talking about quarks, all I can think of is the dude on Deep Space Nine. Double! Woo!
Stupid Ferengi.
Hi, this is Dave Slusher from Evil Genius Chronicles, and you are listening to Technorama, because you're in the cool club.
All right, and in our geek library tonight, I found some really cool pictures of Douglas Adams working with, what's his name? Gosh, I can't remember his name. The guy that developed the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy on Infocom. And they're sitting there.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Steve Moretzky.
Yes, sir. That's right. Thank you. Steve Moretzky. And there's a picture of them sitting in the room in front of the Mac Classic. And then there's some pictures of their notes, like how you get the babblefish. And it's funny because here, let me read this to you. And this is the description for the picture of the notes of them writing that part. Says the Babblefish, the original notes describing the innocent and speculative detail, that puzzle, the puzzle that million game. The Babblefish, the original notes describing the innocent and speculative detail, the puzzle that had a million gamers in 1980s hurling their Commodores, BBCs, and Macs across the rooms in despair. That's the way I felt, because you had to like put a towel in front of the vent and push the button, drop the peanuts or whatever it was. It was a nightmare. Did you ever play that one?
No, I never played that one. I wasn't into Hitchhikers until about a year ago.
Are you serious? Really? Because of the movie?
Partly because of the movie, partly because of the book. I think I read the book first.
That's right. You read the book before the movie, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Actually, I listened to the book. Douglas Adams narrated it.
Ah, that's right. That's right.
I'm an audiobook kind of guy.
Well, the notes are pretty cool. You can on one piece of paper, there's a pull tab. You know, somebody there, he was sketched, you know, one of the pull tabs you'd take off a soft drink and throw away.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a picture of it on there as he was sketching it out as they were doodling on the notes. It's kind of funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, and then it has a picture of their award that they won for that, for the best online entertainment. So, anyway, go check that out. And here is a way you can welcome all your geek friends in Binary Code. There's a welcome mat just for you and me. It has Binary Code, I guess it spells out welcome.
But you could, if I remember right, you can also
custom
order these things.
That's right. You can make one that says go away is what they say. And nobody would know. Just wipe their feet on it and come on in.
It says, you know, 1100110000. It's just a series of ones and zeros, and I suspect there's a certain limit of number of characters you can put on this thing. My welcome mat has limited memory capabilities. I need to upgrade.
It's less than 550 bytes or whatever.
Bits?
We're talking bits
in this case.
It's probably like, what was the... Hold on, you got me curious now. It's a 2x3 vinyl... it doesn't say. Yeah, it's probably like one. I don't know.
If you could make a welcome mat custom like that, what would you make it say?
What would I make that one say? Your feet stink.
Podcast or die.
My dog does bite. But Judge, I warned him. There's the mat.
A similar vein, we have another Gizmodo gadget. What, custom-made ASCII carpet?
Yeah.
What the hell is this?
Well, I thought it was a perfect matchup with this. I think in the same vein, it's like, it costs around $2,500. It's a 6.5 by 8 foot carpet. The project name Carpet. Allows personalized ASCII carpet to be purchased, so you can have whatever you want on there. I guess you could print out the Linux kernel. That'd be kind of cool.
I would make a code segment, you know, of some snippet of code. It'd be pretty funny.
Like what? What code would you put on there?
I don't know. I'd just put some PHP code or something, just so when people walk over it. But it's a little on the expensive side.
Hey, wait.
Just to put a chunk of code.
Maybe I can get them to order it at work, and I'll put it in my cube.
You remember how to start all your programs?
Wait a minute. My cube isn't even 6.5 by 8.
You don't have a 6.5? Dude, you need to do the upgrade like I did.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to work on that.
I got a 2-person love seat in my office now.
Hey, baby.
I keep forgetting to take my camera. I will post some pictures in my new office.
Yeah, I want to see that. The one before they take it away from you.
That's not going to happen for a while, but, you know, the way I move, about every 6 months, 6 to 12 months on average.
Yeah.
I've been there for 18 years, and I think I've moved about 20 times.
Yeah. Well, Chuck, what are we giving away now?
$2,500 is for that carpet. I'm not giving away $2,500 or the carpet. You had the wrong leadage ahead of me. But I thought that would get the listeners' attention.
Got mine too. I was like,
holy crap, where'd we get that money?
Yeah. All right, Chuck, we'll see you later. Click.
We do have another giveaway coming up, as Craig led in with. You know the drill. We're looking for your email. Send this one to chuckchatplusairplay@gmail.com. We're giving away an Extreme Mac AirPlay 2. We'll have a link in the show notes if you want to take a look. This is a very nice FM transmitter, similar to other items we've given away in previous months. Extreme Mac was kind enough to pass on one of these. I think it's about $40, $50 value on this thing. I forgot to check the exact price.
$2,500 value.
No, not that. That was for the carpet. If you want to buy your own carpet,
with me,
go
man.
Ahead. It's got three presets, which is kind of nice, because then if you start running into interference, you can program a couple of options. You can go preset one, preset two, preset three. Did use it. It's got an LCD on it. It's easy to set and change the stations or reprogram the presets. And it comes with a stick-on clip, so you can take this little clip and stick it on your dashboard. So when the little FM transmitter's not in use, you can just leave it in your car in the little clip holder.
Was it snap onto your...
It's got like a sticky back tape that you stick it to your dashboard.
Hmm.
And then the FM transmitter, when you unplug it from the dock connector on the iPod,
mm-hmm.
works with all dock connector, I should say that. That means it's third, fourth gen photo, iPod video, yada, yada, yada.
Cool.
When you're done with this little square thing, it's only like 1 inch by 1 inch, or for you non-US citizens, it'd be like 2.5 centimeters square. And very thin, actually. It's thinner than the iPod video by a little bit. Oh, maybe 5 millimeters, six mm-hmm. millimeters, 7 millimeters, something like that. And you can, when you unclip it from your dock connector, you can just slide the square unit back in its
clip holder. It's easy for you to say.
Yeah, well,
I mean, repeat yourself there. You were breaking up.
Really good reception on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just unclip it from the iPod, put it in its holder.
Okay, and when are we giving this away, Chuck?
We will be giving this away on the April 19th show. So that gives us roughly 3 weeks from the time this goes out. 19th would be a Wednesday, so we'll be drawing it on that. So get it to us before April 19th, 8 p.m. Central, or what would that be, 2 a.m. UTC on April 20th?
Yeah.
Got it? Good.
I'm sorry, I'm still reeling from the quantum physics and all that math from earlier.
It must be having an effect if I'm doing conversions like that on the fly.
No kidding. Whew. All right. Well, listen.
So, Chuckchat plus AirPlay, AIRPLAY at gmail.com.
Okay, very good. Well, this is, show 101's coming up soon. This is what, 96? So
yeah.
We need your audio clips. If you got some or something to say, you want to tell us how much you love the show or how much you love me and Chuck and how much you, anything else, you know, we'll just kind of, we may play. Anyways, it doesn't matter. Anyway, just send us something. And you can send that to Chuck at ChuckChat, ChuckChat@gmail.com. Excuse me.
Audio clips should go to the Gmail account because it's got
right.
a bigger mailbox.
Speaking of which, here's how you contact us. You can call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck at Chuck@checkchat.com. Send audio comments, like I just said, at ChuckChat@gmail.com. Email me. That's Craig. It's K-R-E-G at ChuckChat.com. And the only other constant in the universe, besides the gas, the oil price of oil going up, is chuckchat.com.
Death and taxes.
That too. You can get us. You can get our forms over at Fit, the swag, webcams, mailing lists, and show notes, and all that good stuff. And this show is a proud member of the Friends in Tech. You'll find out more about them at friendsintech@gmail.com. No.
And we'll come up with a
friendsintech.com. Excuse me.
Friendsintech.com. We're going to come up with a closed caption. No, not closed caption. Creative Commons license soon, too.
We have no idea what the hell we're doing.
And don't forget, tell a friend about Technorama.
All right, Chuck. You know what to do. Give it to us.
1-0-1.
See that the humans remain entertained until the end.